Welcome to our podcast. This is Friends on Fire.
I'm Mike. I'm a lifelong devotee of financial independence. I even wrote a book about it.
And I'm Maggie, a newer convert, but just as passionate, especially on the intersection of minimalism and financial independence. We're one and the
same. We are two like-minded friends who believe that talking about money with your friends and family opens the door to financial well-being.
The Friends on Fire podcast is about dispelling myths, building financial acumen, and sharing your financial independence journey with the people you care about.
This is Friends on Fire.
Hey, Mike.
Hey, Maggie.
How's it going?
I'm doing great. How are you?
Doing good. It's Friday.
Means anything to you nowadays,
right? Oh, you're
right.
Well, still, we got a fun weekend ahead, so that still sort of means something because it's when everybody else is off.
Mm-hmm.
So I have, you know, there's more stuff going on, but no, I still like the weekends. I really like the weeks though, maybe better to your point. So
yeah,
I just felt like for your sake, I should be like, you know, happy weekend. You know, you get a couple days off.
Yeah.
Good
you're,
for you.
You're just faking conversations with me now to relate to me.
Totally. It's very hard to relate to most people now. Okay. Gosh, Greg brought me a coffee. And he's lovely, by the way, but it's like, for some reason, when he makes a coffee, it's like there's coffee all over the bottom of the mug. Like, how did that happen? It's like all over my table now. I'm trying to wipe it off.
And since we're criticizing Greg, when I came over to your house the other day for our Friends on Fire,
oh, he was having some issues.
He made me 3 cups of coffee in a row that were all terrible, and he had to pour them out. What is this guy's deal?
Well, I'll tell you what. He makes me coffee every morning. Like, I can make my own coffee, to be clear. But he does it and he like does it with love and like enjoys doing it. And before I can even like say anything, like offers to ask me if I want a cup, ask me if I want it brought to bed, whatever. The service is just 5-star. I don't know what was going on when you were here. He has like quality standards. So he kept dumping out the cups he was making you because it was like he was using a new type of coffee and the consistency it was ground at, you know, like the size of the granules mm-hmm. matter. And something wasn't coming out right about it. So he kept being like, he wouldn't even give it to you. He was like dumping it out before he'd give it to you. And then he like let you taste it once. And then you were like, yes, dump this out. anyways, yeah, he strives for, I mean, his quality and his he just get 5 stars all around. So,
well, I gave him 1 star after my experience, but I'll have to come over and give him another chance.
But he was making you coffee. You should get 5 stars for that. Okay.
All right. We are going to be talking about something that I have loved for
this is your jam.
A decade. And that is...
Fire?
Well, no, that's
financial
been longer than a decade.
Okay, you're right. Since you were
going to give an update on our 1 million miles and points goal and then talk about how to redeem them for max value and give some examples about what we've done recently. So as
like
a refresher,
it.
We set a goal at the beginning of the year for each of us to hit 500,000 points and miles each from credit card sign-up bonuses. We blew past that.
It's late September.
Yes.
Right now. Like many of our goals, we crushed it.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
I say
what,
many.
What
Look,
gets
I
measured
don't,
gets better.
Yeah. I don't mean that. I set tons of goals for myself that I don't crush, so I'm half joking when I say that.
Well, you had
that.
An accountability partner.
I did. You're right. Actually, seriously, I mean, I don't think you were joking when you said that, but... that it really does help. Like if I had just set that goal, it's one of the things that helps in this podcast in general. Mm-hmm. We talk about all the time, but yes, having a little bit of a friendly competition and an accountability partner where like, you know, we were sharing updates with each other regularly seriously helped. And yeah. I was really excited that I was quote winning. I say winning because it's like it's a light competition. There's no prize except pride. And I was winning for most of the year. I was ahead of you. I was like, really? I mean, we had like almost met our goal like 2 or 3 months into the year. And then we slowed down. And now you're winning by a little bit.
Yes. However, I think it's only because I have been including some of the...
referral bonuses.
Yes, the referral bonuses and the extra kind of spend-related bonuses that come out for stuff. Like when Amex gives you 1x or 2x points
yeah.
on certain things. So you are actually ahead, I'm sure.
This is like at work when there's like creative reporting where, I mean, it's still legal, but it's just like people use some, you got to read the fine print of how certain things were calculated, right?
Yeah. Well, we had loosely defined rules on this competition.
Yes, right. Okay. Yeah. We didn't have any fine print. But anyways, yeah. Okay. But where are you
winning.
At for the year?
You're winning.
Okay. That's all I wanted to hear. Just keep
you're
saying
doing
it.
Great. I'm actually very impressed.
Oh,
I'm actually impressed and a little surprised how aggressively you are pursuing this. Because at one point you had like four new cards or something and you're like, how am I going to spend all this money?
Well, what's funny is, and this is what we're focusing on this episode. This episode is not about us bragging about how many points we've got. It's actually about how to use the points because mm-hmm. you say you're impressed. We now have a ton of points and I literally have no idea what to do with them. Like I'll be honest. I don't know where to begin from a redemption standpoint. It's overwhelming, which is what we're going to be what we talk about today. Okay. But real quick, where are you at on points? And then I'll share mine.
I'm at 701, 700,000 points.
I'm sorry. I was trying to tell you how to say 700.
I did kind of forget how to like read numbers.
I know. I was like, you don't know how to say the K.
701,000. 360 from Amex signups,
a couple
spend,
different cards,
and referrals. So I got 30,000 from referring you to the platinum card. Thank you.
You're welcome. Okay. I should get to take credit for that in my.
No, because they're my points. Right?
Okay.
70,000 American miles. 105,000 British Airways miles, 100,000 IHG points from various spend bonuses, and then 25,000 Chase Sapphire points. I got the Chase cards last year, but I got some extra spend bonuses this year. So total 701 right now.
Okay. I am at 680,000 and I've only
but you're really like 750.
Actual signups. Yeah. I didn't count all that other. Mainly because it's too much work to count. We did three different Amex cards. We've got 300,000 points from Amex cards, 200,000 points from two different Chase British Airway cards that we both did, 100,000 from a Capital One card, and 80,000 from a Citi Premier card.
Awesome.
So 680.
That's a lot
total.
Of cards.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. 1, 2, 3, 4. Wait, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. Seven cards, which isn't crazy amongst two people.
Mm-hmm.
And also, we hadn't really done a lot of travel hacking, credit card hacking specifically before this. Yeah. So we hadn't gotten really aggressive. We'd done a couple last year, I think. And prior to that, we just used our Delta Amex and we earned miles for everything we spend on credit cards, but we weren't getting the sign up bonuses, which is really where the benefit is.
Yeah. So let me very quickly give a recap about how points and miles work. And we've done multiple episodes where we've covered this, but just for context, in case you haven't listened to it, I'm going to give you like the 90-second version. The value of this whole activity comes from the bonuses, not the normal spend. So if you want to play the game, you have to churn through cards. You apply for a card, you meet the minimum spend requirements, so like $3,000 in 3 months, and then you get the bonus points deposited into your account. That is the game. And then you cancel after a year so that you don't pay the annual fee and you can go get the card again in a few years. Hotel points are generally worth about half a cent a piece. Airline miles are generally worth about 2 cents a piece. And it depends on how you redeem them, but just keep that. That's my rule of thumb. And so like on a normal credit card spend, consider that 0.5% cash back for a hotel, 2% cash back for an airline. Okay, that's how the math works. And then when you are redeeming these points and miles, you want to do the math to make sure it's a good redemption. So if it's a $50 room and it's 50,000 points, you should pay with cash because that's a terrible use of your points. The 50,000 points should, in theory, be worth $250. So you have to do the calculation before you redeem them. And if you were to go earn 1 million airline miles, so 1 million points, our goal, that's like $20,000 of travel. So this can be quite lucrative. We're going to give you some real examples of how we've redeemed them for free travel.
So Mike, I think that's a really helpful recap. And before we jump in to how we actually redeem all these points, which really is the focus of this show, it's worth reminding people that as you're applying for these cards, you do want to be thoughtful about what your earning strategy is so that you can then, what people call it like earn and burn, so you can then burn the points in a helpful or in an optimized way. And so when you think about your earning strategy, you usually want to think about what card you're actually signing up for. And so pick, you know, 1 to 3 hotels or 1 to 3 airlines and focus on earning on those. It's not going to be helpful to have small amounts of points with tons of different airline and hotel providers. It's going to be more helpful to have, you know, 200,000 miles with a couple of airlines than it is to have these, you know, tiny amounts of miles with spread out across a ton of different things, because you need a good chunk of miles to miles or points or whatever the currency is to actually redeem them for meaningful things.
So in addition to picking like reward programs that you want points deposited into, Maggie, it's important to also recognize what alliances those points can be spent against. So for airlines, there's SkyTeam, there's Oneworld, there's Star Alliance. And so if you have Delta miles, you can go use those for Air France flights and KLM flights. And so it is not just limited to Delta. So you want to make sure that you are being strategic about where you build up your points and making sure that you have access to all flights globally.
And if those alliance names are confusing you, because I was not familiar with, I mean, I recognize SkyTeam from Delta, but some of the other ones I was less familiar with. When you're signing up for these cards, like when you go sign up for the British Airways card, it's very clear who their redemption partners are. And if it's not clearly written, you can go Google it in 30 seconds. And there's usually an article on the points guy or some website. It would let you know where you can redeem your British Airways miles, as an example.
And the same goes for hotels. You know, there's Choice, Marriott, Hilton, IHG. There's a bunch of hotel companies. And within these companies, there are thousands of hotels. So you're going to be able to book all different brands within a network of hotels.
And I think that part of the earning strategy point here, aside from focusing your miles in certain areas versus being spread too thin across a ton of different areas, is also think about where you actually go. And like, if you live in a city where, you know, Southwest is a big hub and you can get quick Southwest flights, like that might be one you want to lean into. Yeah, versus we're in Atlanta and Delta is a huge hub here. And so I can always use Delta miles. I never have an issue redeeming those, versus it's a little bit harder for me to use some other airlines like American and United that just don't have as many flights coming out of Atlanta.
The next piece of this strategy, and Maggie, this is one that I've just been super impressed with you on this year, is that you have to go earn these miles and you got to be serious about it. Don't mess around. Don't dabble. If you want free travel, you have to be aggressive and thoughtful about this. And that is what you and Greg have done. You've gotten hundreds of thousands of points and miles with a bunch of different cards. I mean, you have really jumped in headfirst to this.
And, you know, I'd be remiss not to point this out in terms of part of our approach, but also something to be really careful about with this. This is not about spending money you don't already plan to spend,
yeah,
right? So part of our seriousness about this is we're thoughtful and we think ahead about what big expenses we already have coming up. And now I get really frustrated if I have some big expense come up that I put all expenses on credit cards just to earn points or miles anyways. But if I have something come up and I'm like, oh, that would have, we need a new refrigerator and that's a couple $1,000. And like, that would have been great to go towards a bonus, a sign up bonus earning amount. And so it's funny how my mind shifts now.
I totally understand what you mean. It's like, sadly, it's depressing when you have like some tax bill or something. You're like, God,
how quickly could have
gotten another credit card.
Yeah. And so speaking of tax bill, another strategic thing is like taxes. Real estate taxes are always due in the fall, in September, October, in our area. I might be different around the world. And so we just did a card that had a really big limit, but a lot of points. And we had to spend $15,000 in 3 months or something on an Amex. And we spent it within 24 hours by putting our own home real estate taxes on it, one of our rental properties, and one of Greg's mom's condo in Atlanta taxes. Like, she just paid us back and we put them on the card. And yeah, there's a little fee for paying on a credit card, but that fee outweighs the amount of miles that I'm getting. So I'm willing to pay a little bit of a credit card fee to pay that on a credit card. I wouldn't always do that, but for a big sign up bonus, I would. And that's just an example, you know, of being.
Because you could otherwise not have gotten that sign up bonus.
Yeah.
Because you would not have spent enough money.
Yeah,
so
I wouldn't have.
$200 in fees you paid or whatever it was. Totally worth it.
Yeah. Because I know the point value of getting that 150,000 points. And so I'm like, yeah, paying a few hundred bucks in fees is okay. I'm essentially buying points at a really, really good price. Yeah. And the other point, Mike, that I think is helpful here, and someone actually DM'd us this question recently. We don't keep these cards past a year. So like that card I just talked about, It was an Amex Platinum. It has a $695 a year fee.
Yeah, you don't want to pay that again.
Yeah, I'm never going to pay that again. It comes with a lot of nice benefits that I can, where I can kind of get the value of that $700 back. There's a $400 credit on Dell. There's a bunch of things that I'm going to like use so that I don't feel like I actually paid $700 for that, but I'm definitely not going to pay for it the second year because it doesn't come with another point or mileage bonus, sign up bonus. It doesn't come with all those. Some of those benefits remain, you know, year after year, but it doesn't make it worth it for me. And so 99% of these cards we are canceling after the first year.
And so a couple of these cards that I just referenced, I have some referral links for where you could get a good deal on sign-up bonuses. And then I also get some bonuses back. So we'll put these in the link. We'll put these in the show notes. And if you want to sign up for them, you can get started on this.
Which is another point just worth making, Mike, is a lot of the, almost all of these credit cards offer like affiliate referral bonuses. So if you, and it could be from a friend, like when I'm going to sign up for a card anyways, I would rather somebody get a kickback for that.
Yeah.
It's usually not taking away from what I'm getting. Sometimes it's a different point offer, so you want to be careful about that. But when it's the same, I'm like, yeah, Mike, send me your referral code. And we've done it, you know, mm-hmm. both ways before. And even when Greg and I both got the British Airways card, like I think I used your referral code, Mike, to get it. And then when Greg got one, he used my referral code, yeah. right? And so you can, you know, do the chain however you want. But it's just worth noting, if you know somebody who has one, like do them a favor and use their referral code. And when you click through from the points guy or any of these websites that have good summaries, they have, those are referral
yeah,
codes
that's
also.
How they, that's so how they make their money.
And if, so look, if you found out about it from them, go for it, give them the thing. But if you have a friend who's like got the card, like say,
like
hey,
I'm
know you have that card. And I will just give a shameless plug also of like, we don't put ads on our podcast for a reason. We appreciate the experience of listening to podcasts without ads, not knocking anyone who, you know, needs to use them and is trying to monetize it. But we purposely and thoughtfully don't do things to like highly monetize the show in any way. And so, you know, a little thing is you can use like one of our referral links if you do want one of these cards, and we'll put some in the show notes.
That's kind of the strategy in a nutshell. If you were to take one thing away from this, make sure that you are collecting large number of points with a few select rewards programs, and then be serious about it. Because if you're not getting hundreds of thousands of points and miles, you're not going to be able to redeem them for anything. All right, let's jump into the really interesting part of this episode. How do you redeem these points? And this is something, Maggie, that you opened the show by saying that you're kind of...
I struggle with this. Yeah. I mean, it's a couple of things. I'm kind of like a lazy slash less experienced travel hacker. And so now I'm like, I've gotten good. Actually, amassing the points is the easier part, mm-hmm. to be really clear. It's a lot easier to just kind of strategize about big expenses you have coming up. And, you know, it's a little bit of work, but not that much work. Actually now being like, okay, I have two big scenarios. One, I want to like go somewhere for free with all my points, and I don't care, and I'm flexible on where and when I go. Two, I have actual places I need to go to for events, and I want to try to use my points and miles for that. And it's like overwhelming on where to begin. And you're a pro at this. I think you put a decent amount of time into it and you enjoy it.
I do.
I'm not sure that I would say I enjoy it. It's like an overwhelming amount of options and things. You just got to do a lot of research. It's not like you just go to the Delta website and book your flight, which is what I'm good at.
I think you're going to find, Maggie, as you do more research and you get good redemptions, so as you get better at this,
yeah.
you're going to find much more satisfaction and enjoyment.
Yeah. Right now I find satisfaction and enjoyment in you telling me.
Telling you what to do?
Where I could book.
Yeah. All right. Well, let's jump in.
Let's dig in.
Okay. So
for me and everyone else who needs help on this.
First thing, as a reminder, covered this at the beginning of the show, you need to understand the value of these points and miles. And the objective is not to get free travel if it is a bad redemption. It is to get the best deal on all of your travel. And so don't waste your points. Look for the best deal. And you might need to just pay cash. Okay. Let's start with hotels, because hotels are actually kind of the easiest one to get a good deal on. almost all these programs are dynamically priced, meaning that depending on the occupancy of the hotel or the time you're booking or the time you are making your stay, the points are going to be different. A hotel room could be 20,000 points, could be 30,000 a month later, could drop down to 10,000 a week before the trip. Who knows? It's all over the place.
Which, to be clear, is also how their dollar pricing works.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Right.
Yeah,
it's constantly fluctuating based on all those different factors, so it makes sense that the point redemption would also be fluctuating.
So if you are going to make a trip down to, I don't know, Orlando, and you want to go to Disney World, you want to...
Wait, hold on. I want to go to FinCon next year in New Orleans. Help me out.
Okay. So for FinCon, you would want to look at the different programs you have. So like, let's say you have Marriott, Hilton, and IHG points. You would want to search in all three of those platforms and see what the options are. And you could look for what's closest. Let's say you find one hotel each that is the same distance from the venue. Whichever one's cheapest is probably what you want. And as long as the cash rate is not a better deal than the points, then you would just book that.
And I'm going to do that half a cent
math
that you talked about earlier.
Yeah, exactly. Now, I would recommend going back once a month and just checking what that room is. And you can go cancel your reservation and make a new one, get your points deposited. There's no cash cost, and you rebook it for a lower rate if you find
it. That's a huge point that's just worth double clicking on, Mike. I don't know, with airlines, the rules are a little bit different, I think, sometimes, but with hotels, 90% that I'm aware of, I mean, I make up percentages all the time, by the way. I have no idea if it's 90% or like 80% or 99%. But when you book, when I use, 20,000 points to book an IHG hotel room, I can book it for something that's, 9 months out. And if I find a better deal, I can cancel it and get my points redeposited.
Yeah.
And so there's not a lot of harm in like planning in advance. And then if you find something better, cool. You can do the same thing with, right, depending on the cancellation and the type of rate you book. You can do the same thing when you're paying dollars, right? You can always kind of like book something that's cancelable. And then if you find something better, trade it out.
Now that's, the level 100 course. The level 200 course on this would be, if you have enough points, just start booking speculatively all over the place. So if you're going to New Orleans, book three different hotels on points for different dates that you're not sure, for different areas, and then just go back and check them all periodically. And then 2 days before you're there, you cancel all of them and pick the one that ends up being the best deal.
Yeah, that's a great point. Even for like this thing where I don't exactly know what the hotel is going to be at, but I'm probably going to use IHG points.
Mm-hmm.
I can pick a couple different parts of town and have stuff, and have options. So it's a great example.
Now, the other thing that happens with hotel points is that with the credit cards, many of them have free night certificates or some sort of deal like IHG's fourth night free. And so if you are going to travel for 3 days or three nights, just add on a fourth night. It's free. Or if you have an 8-night stay, book 2 4-night reservations.
So, Mike, on that point, I want to remind people of what I think is both of our strategies and many people's. Even though we said we don't keep a lot of these cards past a year, I do keep these are all the like one where I'm signing up for British Airways and a $700 business Amex card and all this stuff. I don't keep those for more than a year because the fees are high and I just did it for the one-time point bonus. But I have my kind of core people that I'm most loyal to and that are my everyday use cards. And like I have an airline one and I have a hotel one and they're lower fees per year. So I think the IHG one's like a $95 fee a year. And my Delta one is similar. It might even be like $200 or $300. But I use that card consistently. I get a companion pass from Delta every year through it. And so even though we were just saying to cancel them, I just think it's worth reminding people that we both do have cards that we keep. And that's like that IHG card where that's kind of my like when I am traveling and booking hotels, I'm most loyal to IHG. And yours might be a different company, though we both love IHG. And so you get some... you just need to think about it as like you have your kind of daily use cards that are the people you travel with, the companies, maybe an airline and a hotel that you use more often. And then you have the ones that you're like churning and burning, which are two different categories.
Yeah, that's a great point. Okay, so that's hotels. Once you get the point redemptions, still go also check the cash, because you might find some great cash deal either from, you know, Orbitz or Hotels.com or just through the hotel's website, and just find a great cash redemption via some promo that's better than using points. But just the key takeaway, keep checking it regularly, because with dynamic pricing, you might find a better deal as time goes on. Let's move on to airlines, because this is super complicated and overwhelming for people, and what I find the most satisfaction in. There is no easy way around this. You need to search a lot. So if you are a lazy travel hacker like Maggie, this is going to be tough because it takes a lot of time. And if you're not familiar with how all the different websites work, it could just be kind of confusing and overwhelming for you. So I have a bunch of different miles balances. And so when I'm going and looking for something, so like I'm looking for flights to Denver for next summer, I'm going to check Delta, American, Southwest, JetBlue. Those are my domestic airlines, and I'm going to see what's available. The international, we'll talk about this some more. It's more complicated because you have, as we mentioned, the alliance partners, and then there are different opportunities for international redemptions, which could be very lucrative. The domestic stuff is pretty straightforward, though. If you have Delta miles, you will book a Delta domestic flight, and it will be comparable to an American flight and a Southwest flight, etc. So in this first search, I'm looking for flights to Denver. If I see a really good redemption, so a $500 Delta flight cost me 25,000 miles to book. I did not find that, by the way. But let's say I did find that. I would have just booked it because that's 2 cents a mile. I would have felt really good about it. But I did not. And so I have to keep looking.
Okay, Mike, on these examples you've just talked through, I'm very curious how you're actually like taking notes on your research. Like, do you have a spreadsheet where you're literally like, you know, you've got Denver and you're like, you've checked all these sites and you're like, are you just like jotting it down on a notepad? I'm just curious, like how you were doing this.
That's a good question. Sometimes for like complicated international stuff, I will make a spreadsheet to keep track of things and make decisions. But with domestic options, you know, it's fairly straightforward. I'll kind of like have my date range. And then once I settle in it, I'll have a window with Delta, a window with American, find the right flight opportunities, compare them, and just book it at that time. So I don't typically make notes.
I think you are more advanced and you're like doing this in your head. As you're talking through this, I'm like, I need to like write down, when I go to these five sites to check my thing, it's like, I need to like put in the miles and put like, I just need the like calculation to, you know what I mean? Like, I almost want to make like a really simple spreadsheet, which I'm sure already exists somewhere. Because it gets complicated and overwhelming to, you know, look at 10 different sites. And it's worth it in the end. You're putting some time in to get a free trip and to save some money. But it is, I just was curious more how you were doing it. Okay. So I think one of the tips for getting the best redemption value is to really be as flexible as possible, right? So like Mike, you were talking about earlier, points and miles are dynamic. There's more popular times of day, more popular days of week, even more popular times of the year, et cetera, when things get more expensive, right? When you're trying to travel like the week of Christmas or the week of New Year's versus there's always like amazing deals the week before Christmas, if you ever noticed, and like the week before or after Thanksgiving. And so the more flexible you can be, there's certain trips when you cannot be flexible, right? There's an event in a certain city and you need to be there then. And then there's other things where like your Denver trip, if you guys are just going on your own, you can kind of choose which weeks over the summer you want to go if there's availability, you know, at the place you're staying at.
Which days of the week?
Yeah, you could travel. Don't traveling on like, you know, over the weekend is often more expensive. And traveling, even on traveling on Mondays is expensive because there's a lot of business travel. But traveling on a Tuesday, you can often get a better deal on kind of these off days.
Yeah. So that's domestic flights. I mean, the flexibility is the same for international flights, but the redemption strategies for international flights gets much more complicated, but also incredibly lucrative. With domestic flights, you're never going to get like some killer deal. It's going to be like 2 cents a mile, and that's going to be the best you're ever going to find. With international, let's use Delta. When I search Delta, I can book a KLM flight or an Air France flight or a Delta flight, they'll all show up in the same window when I'm searching, but they're going to be like super expensive. Delta is notorious for having like very low redemption values. But if I were to try to book that same Air France flight with Flying Blue points via Air France's website, I could get it for a third of the points total. And so part of this strategy is knowing what flights are out there. And so what I first do is I'll go and just go to like, you know, Google Flights and just see what options are available for where I want to go. And then I know how to start my search. And then I will look at Delta and I'll be like, well, I don't want to spend 300,000 miles per ticket, but I see that there is a KLM flight and an Air France flight. So let me go check Flying Blue and see what those options are.
And Flying Blue is their
That's their rewards program. Yeah. And so if you have a big portfolio and you have Flying Blue points that you've earned, or you have transfer points like Amex or Chase that you can transfer to Flying Blue, then this becomes an option for you to book. And so I will go find that same flight, and instead of paying 300,000 miles for it, it will show up as 100,000 miles.
Explain this points transfer thing to me. Like, I don't have a lot of experience, but it might be more fair to say I don't have any experience with this.
So your Amex points that you've earned, 300,000, they're sitting in Amex Rewards, and you can do a bunch of different things with them. But one of the things that you can do, the most lucrative option, is through transfer partners. So you go in to your Amex Rewards interface, you enter your, let's say, Flying Blue member number. You need to create an account for this. And then you can go transfer 200,000 points into Flying Blue. It's almost instantaneous. Then you will have these points that you can go redeem via Flying Blue.
But would I typically want to wait until I actually know there's a deal on Flying Blue? Because the other day you told me there's some great redemption point offer. I don't remember the words you used.
Yeah, good
there were
question.
Many of them.
With the transfer points, unless you're about to cancel the card and you need to get rid of the points, otherwise lose them, you definitely only want to transfer them when you have a use for them.
So once I have a plan where I'm like, okay, I now need...
Yeah, that's right. You would log into Flying Blue. You'd say, oh, here are the flights I want. I see 5 tickets for my family. I need X number of points. You transfer them. 2 minutes later, you log back into Flying Blue and you book those tickets. That is the best way to maximize this strategy.
Okay, got it.
One good thing that I have done in the past is to continue this example of booking on different partners is that British Airways has very good redemptions for oneworld flights, so American Airlines flights. And so an American flight might not even be available with points, or it might be extremely expensive. With British Airways, you can book the same flight for a fraction of the cost. And so this is why I recommended you and Greg both got those British Airways miles. You can transfer from different partners like American Express. So continuing on this searching strategy, I'll check Delta, I'll check American, then I'll check Flying Blue, then I'll check British Airways, and just see what all of the options are until I start to narrow in on where the deals exist. But there's no way around this. You have to search. There's no like easy way to just have it all aggregated for you that I'm aware of.
That was actually one of my questions, Mike. Are there any third-party tools and services that help you look at all of these different options? And like, I thought like the Points Guy app and some of the other ones like gave you suggestions for what points might be most lucrative for like different places you want to go.
There are certainly what are called kind of referred to as sweet spots, where it's like cheaper to fly somewhere with certain points. But as far as I know, this is an example of us not doing all of our research. As far as I know, there is no place that will go and like check American and check British Airways and compare the two programs for the same flight and tell you which one to book. Are you Googling it right now? Why don't you Google it and tell me from
I was going to a Word Wallet to see what they... I know you use that for tracking, and I kind of like loosely use it. But I'm kind of more shocked that there aren't more services that do this in the same way that, you know, Kayak and Expedia and everything do this for actually booking it with dollars, right? Yeah. That's literally what they're doing. There's just... maybe there's just not a lot of incentive and business... There's not like a business model around helping people.
Yeah, I think it's just very complicated because every reward program has its own system that interfaces with other systems. So like British Airways is pulling American flights. I I don't know. If anybody's listening to this and has some recommendation on this, I'm happy to like look into it. This would save me a lot of time.
Yeah. Well, it's funny is there's so many sites that will give you all of the best sign up bonus offers mm-hmm. and are always, but that's because they're getting a kickback. They get a referral when you click through from their link. And so again, they've monetized the value in bringing you that information, but I don't think there's as many ways to monetize the value of bringing you great redemption offers because they don't make any, nobody make, yeah. If I were to create that service, I don't make anything off it unless I'm like charging you. I do know there are, speaking of that, I'm not going to recommend any because I'm not familiar with them, but there are like content creators in the points and miles and travel hacking space that have like membership groups where they'll help you with stuff like this. And like, well, Julia from GeoBreeze Travel, right? Like you can kind of hire like a consult, like a person, you can pay her to give you tips and recommendations and like help you do some of this stuff, mm-hmm. but it's all manual to your point. Yeah. So it's, you're paying a person that's helping you. There's not like an aggregator of a website that, you know, magically does it all for you. Or you have a friend like Mike.
The more airline reward programs that you are searching, the greater the likelihood that you're going to find a great deal. And some, if you follow travel blogs, there's going to be programs that people really gravitate to. One instance is British Airways. Another one is Avianca Life Miles, which I recently signed up for and have been searching through because they have a transfer partner with American Express. It's a random Colombian airline, but you can book Star Alliance flights. And so I've just been kind of searching all of my flight options through Life Miles just to see what's out there. And I haven't redeemed yet, but I found a lot of great potential options.
Okay, Mike, we used some examples here on, you know, like I want to go to New Orleans next year and, you know, how do I approach that? But what if I'm flexible? I don't know where I want to go. I just want to get a free trip for my family somewhere fun next summer, which is actually the position I'm in right now. I'm open to lots of places.
Yeah, that's an interesting question. And there are, of course, many options. One thing you could do is follow travel blogs and promotional emails from airlines and just see what deals come about. You know, like Travel Zoo, that sort of stuff, because you're going to be bombarded with flash deals and options and something might pique your interest, but you just have to be kind of like engaged and aware with it. The other thing you could do is you can look for a destination map, which all airlines will have. So like, let's say you are coming out of Atlanta, you can go look at Delta's destination map and just look for direct flights that Delta has from Atlanta. You could go look at the flights being flown out of Hartsfield Airport and see what other airlines offer, you know, like what Caribbean destinations are nearby, and just give yourself some ideas. But at some point, you will need to start narrowing your search and then go through this process again. So like Maggie, let's say you don't know where you want to go, but you want to go someplace warm. So you look in the Caribbean, start just doing some Google flight searches to see what's kind of reasonable and direct and nearby. And then you narrow that down to 5 different islands. And then you do a little research and then you pick 2 islands. And then you start looking for the best redemption options and go through that process we talked about earlier. If you don't find any great deals and all the flights are 100,000 miles a piece or $2,000 or whatever it is, then be like, all right, we'll scratch that. That wasn't a great idea. Let me pick a different island mm-hmm. and redo my search.
So that is helpful. I have 2 questions
okay.
related. First one, I pay for Scott's cheap flights.
Me too.
Oh, really? I didn't yeah. know that. That's so funny. I'm still learning so much about you, Mike.
We should share a subscription instead.
Oh, that's a good point. I pay for it and I have them automatically forwarded from my inbox to Greg,
yeah.
which is how we would share one, right? As one of us does yeah. that. And I, by the way, I never pay full price. They always run different promotions. Mm-hmm. And then when you like quit, they offer you a better price. And so what are you paying right now for it?
$25.
I think I just paid probably more than that. But anyways, so when I get those notifications and I'll get like, I just got something that was really cheap flights to Hawaii, but pick any location. Is it can I make a fair assumption that when I get an email that says there's, you know, cheap flights to Hawaii, that the mileage and points, or well, it's mileage in this example, is maybe aligned with that like there's probably also some good mileage, if there's a good dollar, which they're just showing me dollar deals, they're not showing me mileage deals, but is it fair to make an assumption that means maybe I should go look at mileage deals to Hawaii because there's clearly some like good rates right now?
Absolutely. It doesn't guarantee that the miles are also going to be lower.
But it's an is it an indicator worth my time?
Yeah. Okay. But in this process, which I've outlined in this episode, you would go do both anyway. You would check the cash and you would check the miles to make sure you're getting a good redemption. So if a flight to Hawaii is normally $1,000 and you get a deal in this email that says it's now $300, you would want to go look at the points and just see if it's worth using 10,000 points to go buy a $300 flight now.
Yeah. I'm more like when I really have no idea where I want to go, sometimes like Scotch cheap flights, it helps narrow it down, certainly from a dollar perspective, but it also can help me say like, okay, well, there's like awesome deals to, you know, Spain right now.
Yeah.
Okay. And then my second question was, is it worth it to pay for some of those flight crawling services like a Scotch cheap flights?
Absolutely.
I'm guessing I
barely pay for anything and I subscribe to this service because in my mind, it was like $25 for their basic subscription. And if I found one deal,
one thing,
it would pay for itself 10 times over.
Honestly, if you found one thing every 3 years, it would pay for itself.
Absolutely.
Because I've not found anything in my first year where I've actually used it. It's interesting and I enjoy getting them and it keeps travel top of mind for me also.
Same for me. Exactly.
Yeah.
So no matter how you get inspired or search for options, it all comes down to like you have to search. You have to search, you have to do the math, and then you need to book something that is the best value for you. There's really no easy way around this. Now, if this seems overwhelming to you, just remember that for one trip, this could save you $5,000 or $10,000 of airfare over a year or a lifetime. It could save you hundreds of thousands or millions of dollars. I mean, this really pays for itself if you put forth the effort. So, Maggie, I have already booked some summer travel, so let me give you some real examples of how I've done this. I did book flights to Norway and Sweden for next summer, and I found a Flying Blue deal through one of my blogs that I read regularly, and it was, you know, cheap point redemptions to Europe. So I found Norway. It was like on my list, but not like the place we were definitely going to. It was just an option. But I found a flight to Oslo from Atlanta, and I transferred points from American Express and booked four tickets for 82,000 miles on Flying Blue. Great deal. And then we didn't really know where we were going to go within that. And we decided to fly out of Stockholm. So we're going to go through Norway and travel over to Sweden. And it's really expensive, Scandinavia in the summer. But we found British Airways has a flight via Heathrow. And I used 150,000 British points to book that ticket for all four of us to come home. Then later in the year, Britt and I are going to Japan, and I used, this was a killer redemption, 120,000 round trip points per ticket on Japan Airlines business class Atlanta to Osaka.
The business class piece is all I heard. It was a lot of like, wah, wah, wah. I got, like, that's the thing. It's so much, it's just like, I'm still rallying myself up for how I'm going to like use my 700,000 points now. Mm-hmm. You know, like I've said multiple times, I'm newer to this, right? Like I've just been paying for my travel for years and using what I get from, you know, daily spend on my Delta Amex. But I'm excited, and your excitement for it, Mike, gets me like more motivated to be like, okay, I'm going to like not pay for a trip next summer. You know, I'm not going to spend $20,000 on my summer trip next summer.
Yeah.
That's my goal.
Well, I would love to help you with it.
Okay. I would love, if by help me, you mean
do it for you,
do it and just decide where we go. But no, you're right. Cause this is like, you know, you got to teach a woman how to fish, mm-hmm. not give her a fish.
Yeah.
Or teach a vegan how to make her own oat milk, not just give her the oat milk. Okay.
If you want to come to Norway and Sweden with us, I will help you find some flights there. And then I will also plan the itinerary.
Oh, that's even more attractive. Okay. Should we wrap this up?
Yep. I think so. Top three takeaways?
Yeah. Top three takeaways. Number one, which is where I usually fail at the very beginning. Know the value of your points and treat them mostly like cash. So Mike, give us that math again.
Hotels, generally half a cent a point. Airlines, generally 2 cents a point.
A mile.
a mile. Number two, dedicate some time to thoroughly searching. It's the only way you're going to find a good deal.
Number three, this approach to earning points and then using them does take extra time. So realize that this is the trade-off in your time versus your money. And like many things, it can be a fun trade-off. So it's so funny. I love to DIY so many things and it's me putting extra time into it. But it's funny, on this one, I'm still like, mm-hmm. I'm still getting in my groove of, yeah. You know, I don't think I've had enough like wins to get as excited about it as you do.
Yeah. So after this episode, send me a couple destinations of what you might be interested in, and then I will search some options for you.
Okay, I like it. Get me started. It's funny, I say that, but in fairness, we travel all the time on like Delta Miles, right? Because that's kind of what we always have mm-hmm. earned. And we just, it's something about all these different options. Like I have an overwhelming amount of points with different points and miles with different companies now. And so now it's just like, it's a little more complicated. Yeah. It's like, I'm past 101. I'm now into 201 and I've got to figure this out. So we hope this has been a helpful episode for people. We appreciate you listening. If you've been challenged or inspired by what you have heard today, please rate and review the show. It's super helpful when you leave us a positive rating on Apple Podcasts.
If you have any thoughts or questions, we'd love to hear from you. And you can leave us a voicemail or text us at 404-981-3370 or hit us up on Instagram.
Awesome. Thanks, Mike.
Thanks, Maggie. Bye.